Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
So reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 1, observing the armies, text number, last three verses, 44, 45, and 46. Do we need translators here? You're the translator? You'll actually translate? What's that? Does anyone else need a translator? Everyone here speaks English? Who's not raising their hands? Kavarish Pangliski? Panimayish Pangliski? Yeah. Perivocek? Yes, Perivocek? Kalyani, can you translate? Paruski. Ruski. What's that? Yes. Difficult. Truhna. Is there anyone who's Yesli? Asoba Gavrit Pangliski I Poruski? Gavaru led Medlina. I think her also. Ona. Bosnia, Serbia, Kakoste. Rezumen Pangliski? Net. No, we need Serbian. Croatian, Bosnian. Anyone here speak Croatian, Bosnian, or Serbian? Yes. Rezumen Ruski? No. Okay. Aho bata maha papam kartum vyavasita vayam yad raja sukalo venak hantum swajanam udyata. Alas, how strange it is that we're preparing to commit greatly sinful acts. Driven by the desire to enjoy royal happiness, we are intent on killing our own kinsmen. ¿Estás traduciendo? ¿Tienes en...? Okay. Purport. Driven by the selfish motives, one may be inclined to such sinful acts as killing of one's own brother. Only one class. Father or mother. There are many such instances in the history of the world. But Arjuna, being a saintly devotee of the Lord, is always conscious of moral principles and therefore takes care to avoid such activities. Text 45. Idi mama pratikaram ashastram shastra panaya dhatrasvarane hanyus tame shematuram bhavat. Better for me if the sons of Dhritarashtra, weapons in hand, were to kill me unarmed and unresisting on the battlefield. Purport. It is the custom, according to Kshatriya fighting principles, that an unarmed and unwilling foe should not be attacked. Arjuna, however, decided that even if attacked by the enemy in such an awkward position, he would not fight. He did not consider how much the other party was bent upon fighting. All these symptoms are due to soft-heartedness resulting from his being a great devotee of the Lord. So the last verse in this chapter. Evam yuktva arjuna sanjayo vacha evam yuktva arjuna sankhye ratopasto pasvishat vishrija sasaram chapam shokam samvigna manasa. Sanjaya said, Arjuna, having thus spoken on the battlefield, cast aside his bow and arrows and sat down on the chariot, his mind overwhelmed with grief. Purport. While observing the situation of his enemy, Arjuna stood up on the chariot, but he was so much afflicted with lamentation that he sat down again. Setting aside his bow and arrows, such a kind and soft-hearted person in the devotional service to the Lord is fit to receive self-knowledge. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutta Srimati Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatyade Satarane. As we know, Bhagavad Gita is a book meant for the conditioned souls in Kali Yuga, and that Krishna is using Arjuna as his instrument to ask questions so that when we hear the answers to the questions, we can try to make progress towards two things. One of them is to realize the difference between our actual selves and our illusory identification with our gross and subtle material bodies. To vistriya, vistriya. Panimayash? Medlina. Pagavarub Medlina. Chem Medlina. In other words, Bhagavad Gita is spoken for us, but we have to listen to it in order to understand it. First of all, Arjuna is the conditioned soul who is in the stage of lamentation. So everyone is lamenting. Anyone who has a material body has to lament, because the material body is lamentable. For one thing, we have to die. So that's quite unfortunate. What can be more unfortunate than having to die? Because when we die, we lose everything. Whatever we think we are, whatever we think we have, everything is taken away. So Arjuna was about to kill his relatives and take everything away from them. And he himself might die, and everything would be taken from him. But Krishna will dispel his illusion, because actually we don't have anything. Anything more than if we were dreaming, we actually believed that the palace that we owned in the dream actually belonged to us. Or that the body we had in the dream was actually our body. Or whatever was occurring in the dream was actually happening to us. So our material existence exactly is the same thing. Very temporary, short dream, which we'll wake up from. And either we have another dream in the future, or we actually wake up and find out who we are. So Arjuna, he was in a demon, and therefore he was willing to hear from Krishna how to solve his problem. So the fact that we have a problem is not a problem, or maybe it is a problem, but the biggest problem is that we're not interested in solving our problem. We think our problems are we don't have enough illusion, or we don't have the right illusion. So that's the biggest problem. We want to change our illusion from one illusion to another illusion. So that's called illusion. if we understand that we're an illusion and we try to get out of illusion, that's hope. That's actually something positive. So Arjuna, we'll find out, he actually understands that he's an illusion. And he approaches the right person to get out of the illusion. So that's very fortunate. And at the end of Bhagavad Gita, we can understand what is the result of hearing Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna says at the end, Advaishtite tiya imam dharmam sampadam avyo jnana jagnena tenaham ishtaksvam iti me miti. That one who listens with faith, well, actually said, that one who studies the sacred conversation of mine worships me by his intelligence. So real intelligence means to hear Bhagavad Gita. Now, people may identify intelligence with their ability ultimately to make money in the material world. Shri Prabhupada said one person's asking another person, are you intelligent? So the other person's checking his pocket to see if there's any money. And the idea being, if there's some money in his pocket, then he must be intelligent. So that's one kind of intelligence, how to win friends and influence people. But there's another intelligence to understand that we're not this body and that we're ultimately eternal servants of the Supreme Person who exists not only in this material world, but also in the spiritual world, in his all-blissful form of Krishna. So that's real intelligence. And if we study Bhagavad Gita, then we're actually worshiping Krishna with our intelligence. Because intelligence is ultimately meant to worship Krishna, and when intelligence is worshiping Krishna, then it's actually coming in contact with Krishna. It brings the soul into contact with Krishna. Because when we worship Krishna with our intelligence, then Krishna reveals himself within our minds, and in our minds we have the association of Krishna. Therefore, Krishna asked Arjuna, I told Arjuna, because you've listened to me, therefore you've been worshiping with your intelligence. And even if you don't take it very seriously, Shradavan anasuyascha shriniyad apiyo nara sopi mukta subhalokan prapnuvat punya karmana. That for one who listens with faith, and what does faith mean? Faith means that, at least setting aside our speculations, that we have some confidence, whatever we're able to hear, that is actually real. For instance, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that the body is changing. So that's within everyone's experience, that their body is changing. Can anyone say here that their body is not changing? Can anyone dispute what Krishna is saying, that our body is changing? But we ourselves within the body, that what makes the body conscious, or who makes the body conscious, we're not changing. Because after all, we had our 5-year-old body, and that has disappeared. We've had our 20-year-old body, and that has disappeared. And now we have this body, and whether we like it or not, it's also going to disappear. But we haven't disappeared throughout all these changes of body. In spite of the disappearance of our previous bodies, we're still here. Therefore, the conclusion is that even after the final change of this body, we'll still be around somewhere. Now the question is, who's making all these arrangements? Because we're certainly not making the arrangement. No one is creating their next body. At least, even as our bodies are changing, we're not changing bodies. It's being changed for us. So the question is, who's doing all this? So that's God. That's Krishna. The purpose of life is to know who we are and who Krishna is. And that's called faith, that actually Krishna spoke very nice words to Arjuna. He explained about the eternality of the self, and ultimately he talks about the super self within our body, who's directing us, giving us intelligence, either real intelligence or false intelligence. And he's telling us about Krishna, who's the source of the soul and the super soul and everything else. To hear Bhagavad Gita and to accept or understand part of it is called faith. Now, after hearing that Krishna is God, the source of everything, the proprietor of everything, one may become envious of Krishna. Why does Krishna have so much and I have so little, I have nothing. Everything is Krishna's. So one may become envious of Krishna. But if we listen with faith and without enviousness, then at least one will become purified and the next lifetime will become in the higher planetary systems. But Arjuna is way beyond such a materialistic conception of hearing Bhagavad Gita. So therefore Krishna asks Arjuna, kachit etat shutam parata dvaya kai grena chetasa kachit agana samoha pranatas te dananjaya. He asks Arjuna, have you actually taken it seriously what I've been telling you? Have you heard with ekagra, with one-pointed intelligence? Have you actually paid attention? Or you were asleep, or you didn't really take it very seriously? Krishna had so many I heard so many things from Krishna. I heard the same thing yesterday. He's saying the same thing today. And even if I fall asleep, tomorrow I'll hear it. Have you heard it with attention? And Krishna tells Arjuna, now I'm going to judge whether you've heard it with attention or not by two different things. Is your ignorance dispelled? Now, ignorance doesn't mean you get 100 on your spelling test. But ignorance means, are we identifying ourselves with these gross and subtle material bodies, or are we identifying ourselves as a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna? Now, if we identify ourselves a little bit more as a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, which practically means that we're inquiring from Krishna and his representatives what we should do with his energies, and we're doing these activities to please him, and therefore spontaneously remembering Krishna's representatives and Krishna, that's called becoming free from ignorance and illusion. Now, after hearing Bhagavad Gita, and we're still lamenting, we're still hankering for some material thing, either some material progress, making money here, or going all the way up to the heavenly planets, then we're still in ignorance and illusion. And although Bhagavad Gita may give us some material benefit, but the actual benefit won't be there. In other words, A Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punarvartano Jana Mamupetya Tukonteya Punarjanma Navidite. From the highest planet in the material world all the way down to the lowest, they're all places of misery where repeated birth and death take place. But Krishna says, one who comes to my abode, he never takes birth again. So if we don't hear that, and we hear, oh, I can go to the heavenly planets, I can enjoy there for a long period of time, therefore I'll hear Bhagavad Gita and chant, shnik, shnik, ram, ram, day, 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 hey, kitty, kitty, hey, kitty, kitty, 16 rounds every day. Then some material benefit will be there. But ultimately, it's a cycle of birth and death, and therefore, sometimes we may go up to heaven, and sometimes we may have a personal interview with Yamaraj. Showing us our new 2018 dog body. So Arjuna says, Arjuna Vacha Nashto Moha Smritira Labdva, that I have actually listened and I Nashto Moha, my illusion has now been dispelled. No longer am I thinking I'm just a gross and subtle body. I'm actually identifying myself as the servant of the servant of Krishna. Nashto Moha Smritira Labdva. And now I remember again who I actually am. We are who we are eternally. There's no question of becoming anything else other than who we are. But we've forgotten who we really are. We've forgotten Krishna, and therefore we've forgotten who we are. Now, someone may claim, well, I remember Krishna sometimes. But actually, we're yet to remember Krishna. When we meet Krishna face to face, that's when we'll remember Krishna again. Oh, that's, I remember you. You're Krishna, right? I knew it was on the tip of my tongue. Krishna. You have a friend named Radha. Radha and Krishna, right? All right. So when we actually remember Krishna, that's when our memory comes back. Then we'll remember everything, who we really are, what we're supposed to do. In the meantime, we're trying to wake up. We're in devotees, practicing devotees, are like in the stage in between deep sleep and just before we're waking up. We don't know quite what's going on or where we are, but we're not asleep and we're not awake. So that's called practicing devotional service. We're not completely asleep, but nor are we awake to who we actually are. And what was the proof that Arjuna actually heard Bhagavad Gita? He says that Tat Prasada Maya Chuta Stitosmi Gata Sandeha Karishe Vachanam Tava. That now I'm prepared to fight and act according to your directions. So Arjuna was not just going like a warrior to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra and just kill people. He was going to kill people on behalf of Krishna. Now, it's not in this age, practically speaking, there are no Kshatriyas. So Bhagavad Gita is not a book meant to teach us how that we should go out and kill people. No, it's a book telling us that whatever we do, we should do for Krishna, even if it's as a warrior, authorized warrior. Because there are people who are in the army, and at least according to the government, they're authorized to go out and fight. But everyone should fight for Krishna. Nowadays, when people fight, they fight usually for their false ego, or they fight for materialistic gain. So that kind of fight is not Krishna conscious. It's not for Krishna. It's the fight amongst the demons. In the history of the universe, generally there are fights between the demons and the devas. That will go on eternally. But nowadays it's mostly, because there are hardly any devas, it's the fight between one asura and the other asura. But Arjuna, he heard Bhagavad Gita, and therefore in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that Trividanara Kasyedam Dwaranashitam Atmanaha Kama Krota Tatalovas Tasmat Etam Trayam Tyajet. That there are three gates leading to hell: lust, anger, and greed. Now these are the very source of inspiration for modern people. People can't live without lust. They buy books just because, and read them, or magazines, just to become more lusty. They go to movies to increase their lust. Even the food they're eating is all meant to increase their lust. And the success, they think, is they become greedy. if people are greedy, they're considered to be advanced. If I have $100 in the bank and I want $200, that means I'm inspired. If I have $1 million and I want $2 million, then I'm more inspired. If I have $10 billion and I want $20 billion, that means I'm the most advanced amongst the inspired demons. What can I do with it? All I can do is look at it and think, oh, now I have 20, but he has 40, I need 50. So that's called greed. That's considered success. Or as they have in a bumper stick in America, the back of a car, it says, whoever gets the most toys at the end of life wins. So modern society has been to invent things, useless things that we don't really need, and get people to hanker, become greedy for them. And when they can't get them, or they lose them, then they become angry. Or if they see someone has more toys than they do, then become angry. So these are the gates that lead to hell, Krishna says. And a sane person should try to get free from them. So how are we going to become free from them? Is there a pharmaceutical pill that we can take to get free from lust, anger, and greed? Certainly there are pills that people take to become more lusty, angry, and greedy. But Krishna says, yat kshastra vidim ustrija vartate kama karata asasidim avapnoti nasukam na param gitim. That those who give up Shastra can have neither peace nor happiness, or those who give up Shastra and act whimsically can have neither peace nor happiness nor the supreme destination. So Arjuna, he looked over his family and he became full of lamentation. The fact that he had to kill his family and his friends in the battle of Kurukshetra. So he became overwhelmed with lamentation. So this is called kama-karata. Whimsical. Now people don't think it's whimsical. They think they're following their heart, like their emotions, their feelings. They think that's the most valuable thing you can follow, is the way you feel. As if this, your feeling, at least as if people's feelings have created the universe. As if their feelings will make the universe a happier place to live in. That people will not have to go through, because I feel so good, people will not have to go through old age, disease, and death. There'll be no more animal slaughter because I feel a certain way. There'll be no more intoxication. Children will be born and live forever because of the way I feel. So this is whimsical. Our feelings, all they do is place us in another material body to suffer. But if we use our intelligence, according to Shastra, and dovetail not only our activities but our feelings in relationship to Krishna, because we have to feel, but we should feel for Krishna. We should feel for the conditioned souls who are ignorant of Krishna. Not feel for our body and mind and make others the victims of our desires for sense gratification. The conditioned soul, he feels like he should enjoy other living entities. And he thinks that's for his good. But actually one should feel for Krishna and one should feel for everyone else the fact that without Krishna no one can become happy. Everything else is called whimsical. And in order to understand what we can do for our own good and for other good, everyone else's good, we have to follow Shastra. But if we don't follow Shastra, then we won't know what to do for our own good. We won't know what to do for anyone else's good. And therefore we'll obtain neither peace nor happiness, nor the supreme destination. Therefore, tasmat shastram pramanam te karya karya vivyastito gyatva shastram vidanokta karma kartam iharasi. Therefore, one should know what is duty and what is not duty by the shastra, and knowing such duty, one should act so he can gradually become elevated. And what does shastra say? Ashuddhadana hutam dar. What is the whole conclusion of Bhagavad Gita? That's right. Ashuddhaya hutam datam tapastaktam kritam tayat sat ityuchate partha nat chat pretu no iya. Anything done as sacrifice, charity, or austerity without faith in the Supreme is useless both in this life and the next. So the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita is we may do so many things and we are always expecting a good result. Does anyone do anything not expecting a good result? Because our idea of a good result may be to satisfy our lust or our anger or our greed, and we think that will be auspicious. But here it says, and to satisfy our lust, our anger and our greed, we give in charity. Just like someone has a family, more or less he's giving in charity to his wife and children, the results of his work, or to his friends or relatives. So everyone is giving in charity. And everyone's going through austerity. To wake up in the morning and go to work is austere. And sacrifice. We're utilizing our energies for one purpose, worshipping or sacrificing for some purpose, hoping to get a good result. But anything done as charity, austerity, or sacrifice without faith in the Supreme is useless both in this life and in the next. Because the only result one will get is repeated birth and death. Therefore, Arjuna is lamenting because he was unhappy about possible results he would get from fighting with his relatives, but he was confused. And because he was fortunate enough to have Krishna as his chariot driver, therefore he turned to Krishna, because he recognized, right now I'm lamenting, and this is not a very happy state to be lamenting. And therefore, although it appears that I'm so learned, I can quote from so many shastras, but if I'm lamenting, what is the value? If I'm not happy, if I'm hankering and lamenting, then there must be something wrong with all my knowledge is not serving me very well. We may be very proud of our degrees, we may be proud of how much intelligence we have, but if we're hankering and lamenting, then we're fools. So this will be Krishna's first instruction to Arjuna. Asocham, asocham cha, pragyam vadam shabashasa, katasums agatasums cha, nanu sochati pandita. While speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are learned lament neither for the living nor for the dead. So of course, most of us, we lament, and we have no knowledge, so we don't mind, we don't consider ourselves pandits. We know we're fools, but we don't realize what is the process of becoming learned. There are others, Maya Pritagyanas, who believe that they're very intelligent, or even Naradamas, who believe that by making money they can improve the situation, their situation. There are others, the Asuram Bhavam Ashrityas, who simply are envious of anyone who has more than they do. And then there are the mudhas. Most people are mudhas. They're just happy if they have a place to sleep and they can fill their stomach. They think our life is successful. But Bhagavad Gita is meant for people who are just like Arjuna, who realize that they're suffering. they realize they're hankering, they're lamenting, and they're not getting a higher taste other than that. And they realize that whatever they do will be a useless waste of time. Therefore, they approach those who are actually learned, like Krishna. And Krishna says, you're mourning for what is not worthy of grief. So we're also lamenting and hankering. But it is said that Nitevidu Swartikatim Hi Vishnu Dharashya Ye Bahir Arthamanina. Only when we realize Krishna, or to the extent that we realize Krishna, can we see that that which we're hankering for and that which we're lamenting for is insignificant. That compared to Krishna, everything is tuchava. It's completely insignificant. Therefore, this simple process that Srila Prabhupada gave us will not only gradually eliminate our hankering and our lamentation, but ultimately will deliver to us Krishna. And when we get Krishna, everything else will seem like it's insignificant. So this simple process of chanting Hare Krishna, worshipping the deities, taking prasadam, serving the devotees, living in a holy place or preaching, creating holy places by preaching, and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, this will create, well, it will give us an opportunity to directly associate with Krishna, and the more we serve Krishna, the more we realize our relationship to Krishna through the process of service, then the more everything will be revealed, and we'll see that there's nothing to hanker for, there's nothing to lament about. Everything is going on perfectly by Krishna's arrangement. We don't have to worry about anything. We just have to worry about whether Krishna's happy or not, whether we're actually trying to please Krishna and Krishna's devotees. So, thank you. Any questions? Yes. Yes.
So, you see, now in this Kali Yuga, one mind, we cannot concentrate on one thing because we have this vast ocean of these shastras. So, we are sometimes bewildered in so many other things, just like when we hear Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or Chaitanya Charitamrita, when we hear, then our mind is diverted in different directions. We cannot concentrate on one thing. So, can you suggest that how we should?
Well, did everyone hear the question? It's hard to understand how, if you hear Bhagavad Gita, the conclusion is to surrender to Krishna. If you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, the conclusion is to surrender to Krishna. If you hear the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the conclusion is to surrender to Krishna. So how can there be any difference in mind by reading either Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, or Chaitanya Charitamrita? But we have to hear Bhagavad Gita, we have to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to hear Chaitanya Charitamrita from an authorized source, those who understand the essence of each one of the scriptures. Srila Jiva Goswami said the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Pratibhasha Shloka, is Ete Changsa Kala Pumsam Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam. The Krishna is God. The essence of Bhagavad Gita is, well, Prabhupada gives different things, but ultimately it's surrender to Krishna. Madmana Bhava Madbhakto Madhyaji Mamnams Guru. And the essence of Chaitanya Charitamrita is Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishna Sango Pankasra Parshadam. In this age, we're worshiping Krishna through the chanting of the holy names. So in Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, the essence is serve Krishna. Yes.
Maharaj, my head, right? And I noticed that when you mentioned this point, that people judge their intelligence, their, you know, with the Lakshmi and money and all that things. And you get this example of, you know, American toy, and you have more toys, you have less toys. So comparatively, you know, you see, you in this world, people judge you by your external achievement, by your more, you know, wealth that you possess. And if you don't have, then you feel very inferior yourself. So I was wondering, is there any middle path, any single path people have created on their own feeling? As you mentioned, that they think that by their feeling, by their, you know, full feeling, their change may happen, or they have their own feeling, and some world may change because of their feeling. You were mentioning this point. Because I've seen there's two truths, you know, either it's spiritual or it's material. Things are in two ways, either it's spiritual or material. So either Krishna, what Krishna is saying is truth, or his material what he says is false. It's no truth in between. People have their own thinking or own perception that this is something we think and this is something right. So I think, you know, even devotee, I've seen that they have so much knowledge and so much understanding, so much knowledge about Gita and Bhagavad and all that thing. But despite having all this knowledge and having understanding, they judge you, they treat you by their own standard. Like they have their set standard. Even if, for example, if they have to give something like something, some relationship, something is going to about to take place, they will put questions which are very much based on material. Though they know the reason of that nothing is permanent, and they don't believe in Krishna and then higher philosophy, they never take all this question in consideration while, you know, asking those questions. So my question is to you, Maharaj, is there any middle path and any something in between, beyond this spiritual or material thing?
No. Either we serve Krishna or we serve Maya. There's no middle path. There may be a path of elevation, which is also created by Krishna, called Varna Ashram. But that's also Krishna's instructions, how to gradually surrender to him. But Krishna says, Yaya tamam prabhajante tamstapa taiva bhajamyaham mama vartmanu vartante manusha partha sarvashaha. That all of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Kunti. So there's only one path. the path created by Krishna. We follow it, then we'll go up. If we don't follow it, we'll go down. It's as simple as that. If we're not aware of it, then we're in ignorance, and we'll have to get the results. If we become aware of it and actually agree to it, then we'll become elevated. But there's no middle path. I want to maintain my lust, anger, and greed in the material world and enjoy in the heavenly planets so I can go up. But unless I surrender to Krishna ultimately, to devotional service, then I have to come down again. So I may accept some path that will lead me up to get better material enjoyment, but ultimately I'll have to come down again if I don't accept Krishna consciousness. Yes.
There is no middle path. One of the same Bhagavad Gita, there is karma, kanta, jnana, kastrana, vaikara. He tried to gradually elevate Arjuna from karma, kanta. Arjuna was first in vikarma. He declined the path.
Yes, you can take so many paths. There may be so many paths, but there's only one path. Path to become Krishna conscious. So there may be intermediates to that path that we may accept on the progress of becoming conscious of Krishna. But there's only one path to become Krishna conscious. Now we may accept the intermediate, but according to our acharyas, those are also hellish. Then the material world, this idea that there's good and evil in the material world is all a false thing. There's only evil. There's only bad in the material world. It's almost like, well, it's exactly as Prabhupada said, you may have wet stool and dry stool. Some people think that wet stool is better than dry stool, and other people think that dry stool is better than wet stool. But the subject matter is stool. So whether it's karma kanda, jnana kanda, whatever, as Narottam Das said, Das Thakur said, Vishaya kanda, they're all pots of poison, because they're all dealing with the same lust, anger, greed, the same old age, disease and death, and birth again. So if one wants to think that going to the heavenly planets is going to be enjoyable, is progress, then we may think like that. But according to Acharyas, Kaivalya Narakayate, Tridasha Pura Kasha Pushpayate, Dordentendriya Kala Sarpa Patali Damstrayate, Vishna Vishva Purna Sukayate, Vidimahendri Distrakitayate, Yakkaruna Vaibhavatam Tam Goram Evastumaha. So one may think like that from a materialistic point of view, but from the absolute point of view, it's like phantasmagoria, the heavenly planets. Merging in Brahman is like going to hell, and getting yogic powers is useless. That the whole world, for a devotee, seems like it's full of happiness, and even the greatest personalities in the universe seem all equal and equally insignificant. Such is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if one gets the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then one will understand that there's no real value of going to heaven or merging in Brahman. The only real value is to get his mercy and become conscious of Krishna. So we can imagine intermediate paths, but they're all paths leading to nowhere without becoming Krishna conscious. What's that? Yeah, so therefore they'll have to remain in the material world. Ashadidana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsaravartmani. Those who are not faithful to the path of devotional service cannot obtain me, and therefore they have to come back to repeated birth and death. So we may imagine so many different paths, but we'll have to come back to repeated birth and death to experience them. All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita, ki jai. Srila Prabhupada, ki jai. Gaur Premanande.